and welcome to Speak the Words, a Cosmere podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mango.
And this is a podcast where we are slowly but surely working our way through the story of currently Words of Radiance, the second book in the Stormlight Archive. We're going to be going a little bit shorter this week, and from now on, hopefully this works out. Shorter episodes, but hopefully, like, an extra episode. And that'll make it easier on editing, easier on recording. We'll just hope that this works. Mango, I know it's been a while since we last recorded.
It has. I don't remember anything.
Yeah. So last time we covered two interludes, because we skipped one, if you remember.
Oh, wait, actually, I do remember stuff after the interludes.
Yeah.
I don't remember the interludes.
Yeah, the two interludes. One was Zeth. It was just him kind of, you know, freaking the fuck out and then going off to confront somebody. He pretty much seemed like he was going to go confront the person that is behind all his murders.
Behind his murders? Like, behind his enslavement? Or behind...
Yeah.
The guy he's working for right now?
Yeah. He's going after Taravangian.
Oh, so not for his enslavement?
No, not like the Shin that initially enslaved him, but the person who's been ordering him to kill. Because, he really didn't do all that much murdering before this. I mean, he did some
if he was told to, but it wasn't his full-on job.
Yeah, most of his owners didn't realize that, like, what he was capable of until Taravangian got his hands on him. And then Eshonai tried to convert the entire village of the entire listener people into storm form, but a bunch of them escaped. And also, Eshonai sees another Spren hanging around her. It won't leave her alone. And then, after that, you said you remembered a little bit.
Yeah, I remember it was a Kaladin chapter.
Yep.
And he gets let out of jail. And yep. It turns out that Adolin put himself in jail because he couldn't live with the fact that Kaladin went to jail even after saving his life, but he didn't. So he shut himself in. He still got, like, pampered, but,
he refused to leave.
Yeah. Until Kaladin did. And so they're both getting let out. And then, I don't remember much else. Oh, I believe he was given shard plate, but he gave it to, what's his face?
Moash.
I don't remember anyone besides, like, story characters.
The main characters. That's fine. And he told Moash, I'm going to help you kill Elokar.
Oh, yeah.
He also got visited by Wit while he was in prison.
Oh, yeah.
And he got a little bit of therapy.
And Wit was like, tell me a story. And tricked Kaladin into telling him a story.
About, you know, the storm catches everyone eventually. And does it matter? Is like the question that Wit left him with. I think that was all the Kaladin chapters. Shallan also had some stuff going on.
She did?
Yeah. Shallan went and met with... Well, first of all, Shallan and Pattern had, like, a conversation about how Shallan still isn't telling the truth about things, and, like, she has to if she's gonna progress as a Radiant. And then also, Shallan went with Iatol, who is, we find out she's Marais's boss. She's, like, the person above Shallan's boss. She's the boss of Shallan's boss in the Ghostbloods. Yeah, she's the masked girl. She goes with Shallan to visit Taln. And they go to visit Taln, and then Amaram shows up. And Amaram talks about a cache of shard blades that apparently Taln spoke of in his ramblings. And Amaram's going to go look for them, I guess.
Fun.
But at the end of all of that, Marais sent Shallan a letter saying, like, all right, you're a Ghostblood now. And then there was also some Shallan flashbacks. Everything's just still awful. Her dad beats her stepmom.
And her stepmom thinks that Shallan should be the one being beaten. Like, Shallan is, like, trying to make a plan for them all to escape.
Yeah.
And this lady is like, yeah, no, well, you should be the one getting beaten. You're the one who deserves it.
So this week, we're starting with chapter 67. Spit and Bile. It has Dalinar's symbol, and the epigraph reads, My path has been chosen very deliberately. Yes, I agree with everything you have said about race, including the severe danger he presents. This chapter starts with Dalinar and Navani. They're watching two armies return from a hunt, and one of their guards leaves to get a status report. Dalinar thinks about how disciplined Bridge 4 is and how Kaladin fits the ideal type of officer that Dalinar looks for. Navani tells him that they recently discovered that the gemstones in the shard blades don't power the shard blades. Their only purpose is to form the initial bond. Once the bond has been made, you can summon and dismiss a shardblade even if the gemstone is done. One of the Ardent's Rushu learned that men accidentally learned how to summon and dismiss blades by adding gemstones as ornamentation, and this happened several decades after the Recreants. So this also means that the Radiants initially did not need that gemstone to be able to summon and display, summon and dismiss their shardblades. And pretty much the importance of all of this to Dalinar and Navani is that shardblades aren't fabrials like everybody assumes.
Mm.
As she talks, he thinks more about his urgent preparations for their expedition to the Shattered Plains. Navani starts to grieve over the loss of her daughter, talking about how as soon as Yasna became a teenager, she didn't let Navani mother her anymore, and that there was a coldness that developed there. Dalinar comforts her. She worries about Elikar as well, and when Dalinar says that he'll protect Elikar, she asks who will protect Dalinar. And she asks Dalinar how he managed to recover after his wife died, saying that she'd never had to deal with this kind of loss before Yasna. And Dalinar in his head is like, that means that you didn't grieve Gavilar's death. And is like, I know that... In his head, he's like, I know that you talk about how bad your relationship was, but I didn't realize that it was this bad. That you didn't even really grieve him when he died.
She chose Gavilar over him because he was scary, but Gavilar and her relationship was, like, really, really bad.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yikes.
Yeah. We'll learn more about Gavilar eventually.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Stormlight 5 prologue was from Gavilar's point of view. It was great. So one day we'll get to that. Because when you start with the guy that killed Gavilar for the last... prologue of the first set, he's only one person to to have it be from. Dalinar mentions the secrets that Gavilar was hiding, and Navani says that she will try to find something in her journals about them, though she's already checked many times. Dalinar says that their immediate concern is the feast that they're attending, and Navani admonishes him for she's like, look, try to be encouraging instead of contemptful when you speak to the other High Princes. And then they separate to the gender-segregated islands of the feast.
Oh, that's...
They talk about it in the first book. All the women, like, set up their fucking art painting places, and they have, like, they discuss books and stuff, and all the men just, like, form circles and beat each other up. they, like, have duels and shit.
Oh, this sounds very realistic.
Yeah. Dalinar goes to the King's Island, noticing that people seem to be paying more attention to him as he walks by. Dalinar steps up to High Prince Vama and inquires about his hunt strategy, but Vama's response is interrupted by several people laughing nearby. Dalinar leaves to investigate, ending up face-to-face with High Princes Aladar and Sadeas. He confronts them, but they feign ignorance and walk away, and he looks around for someone else to question. And I'm going to read for the book here. "Why, Bright Lord Amaram," Wit cried. "I was hoping I'd be able to see you tonight. I've spent my life learning to make others feel miserable, and so it's a true joy to meet someone so innately talented and of very skill as you are." Dalinar turned, noticing Amaram. He carried a sheaf of papers stuck under his arm. He stopped beside Wit's chair. "Do I know you?" Amaram asked. "No," Wit said, "but fortunately you can add it to the list of many, many things of which you are ignorant." "But now I've met you," Amaram said, holding out a hand, "so the list is one smaller." "Please," Wit said, refusing the hand. "I wouldn't want it to rub off on me." "It? Whatever you've been using to make your hands look so clean, Bright Lord Amaram. It must be powerful stuff indeed."
Damn. Wit. Damn.
Dalinar, Wit said. "Wit, Amaram, what are those papers?" "One of your clerks seized them and brought them to me," Amaram said. "Copies were being passed around the feast before your arrival. Your clerk thought Brightness Navani might want to see them if she hasn't already. Where is she?" "Staying away from you, obviously," Wit noted. "Lucky woman." "Wit," Dalinar said sternly. "Do you mind?" "Rarely." Dalinar sighed. "Brightness Navani is on another island. Do you know what these say?" Amaram's expression grew grim. "I wish I didn't." "I could hit you in the head with a hammer," Wit said happily. "A good bludgeoning would make you forget and do wonders for that face of yours." "Wit," Dalinar said. I'm only joking. Good. A hammer would hardly dent that thick skull of his. Amaram turned to Wit, a look of bafflement on his face. You're very good at that expression, Wit noted. A great deal of practice, I assume. This is the new Wit? Amaram asked. I mean, I wouldn't want to call Amaram an imbecile, Dalinar nodded, because then I'd have to explain to him what the word means, and I'm not certain any of us have the requisite time. Amaram sighed. Why hasn't anyone killed him yet? Dumb luck, in that I'm lucky you're all so dumb. Thank you, Wit, Dalinar said, taking Amaram and towing him to the side. One more, Dalinar. Just one last insult, and I will leave him alone. They continued walking. Lord Amaram, I salute you. You are what lesser Cretans like Sadius can only aspire to be.
Wow.
Amaram tells Dalinar that the papers are accounts of Dalinar's visions written by Navani. Dalinar looks for Navani and sees her already heading towards them. What do you think, Amaram? Dalinar said, of the things that are being said of me. Amaram met his eyes. They are obviously visions from the Almighty himself, given to us in a time of great need. I wish I had known their contents earlier. They give me great confidence in my position and in your appointment as prophet of the Almighty. A dead god can have no prophets. Dead? No, Dalinar. You obviously misinterpret that comment from your visions. He speaks of being dead in the minds of men, that they no longer listen to his commands. God cannot die. Amaram seemed so earnest. Why didn't he help your sons? Kaladin's voice rang in Dalinar's mind. Amaram had come to him that day, of course, professing his apologies and explaining that, with his appointment as a Radiant, he couldn't possibly have helped one faction against another. And the supposed herald, Dalinar asked, the thing I asked you about? I'm still investigating. Amaram says that he's worried about Kaladin remaining the head of Dalinar's guard, but Dalinar shuts him down and says that Kaladin is a good soldier who just carries scars. Amaram says that he'd like an apology from Kaladin regardless. Dalinar gave no reply as Navani strode across the short bridge onto their island. Wit started to proclaim an insult, but she swatted him in the face with a stack of papers. Wit watched after, rubbing his cheek and grinned. Navani brings some of the papers and tells Dalinar that the words and tone were changed to make it seem that Navani was humoring Dalinar by transcribing the visions, and that a mocking commentary was added. Dalinar asks if the visions were changed, and Navani replies that they were not. Dalinar says he will not be bothered by this attempt to embarrass him, and he quotes from the Way of Kings to shield himself from ridicule. Dalinar looked to the crowd. What you have read is true. Stunned silence. Commentary has been added to discredit me, and the tone of Navani's writing has been changed, but I will not hide what has been happening to me. I see visions from the Almighty. They come with almost every storm. This should not surprise you. There have been rumors circulating about my experiences for weeks now. Perhaps I should have released these visions already. In the future, each one I receive will be published, and so that scholars around the world can investigate what I have seen. I do not blame you for thinking I am mad. It is natural. But in the coming nights, when rain washes your walls and the winds howl, you will wonder. You will question. And soon, when I offer you proof, you will know. This attempt to destroy me will then vindicate me instead. There are those among you who assume I will flee or be broken because of this attack. They do not know me as well as they presume. Let the feast continue, for I wish to speak with each and every one of you. The words you hold may mock, but if you must laugh, do it while looking me in the eyes. He stepped down from the table, then went to work. Dalinar sits down to rest after hours of politicking and talking up his expedition to the Shattered Plains. A servant strolled by, then stopped, resting his hand on his side sword. Dalinar started, realizing he'd mistaken Wit for a master servant. Dalinar put on a firm face, though inwardly he groaned. Wit? Now? What you did tonight was clever, Wit said. You turned an attack into a promise. The wisest of men know that to render an insult powerless, you often need only to embrace it. Thank you. Wit nodded curtly. I found myself without much to do tonight. Elokar was not in need of Wit, as few sought to speak to him. All came to you instead. Dalinar sighed. Wit hadn't said it, but he hadn't needed to. Dalinar read the implication. They came to you instead of the king. Because essentially, you are king. Wit, Dalinar found himself asking. Am I a tyrant? Wit cocked an eyebrow. Yes, Dalinar Cullen, he said softly, consolingly, as one might speak to a tearful child. You are. I do not wish to be. With all due respect, Bright Lord, that is not quite the truth. You seek for power. You take hold and let go only with great difficulty. Dalinar bowed his head. Do not sorrow. It is an era for tyrants. I doubt this place is ready for anything more, and a benevolent tyrant is preferable to the disaster of weak rule. Perhaps in another place and time I'd have denounced you with spit and bile, but today I praise you as what this world needs. Dalinar shook his head. I should have allowed Elokar his right of rule, and not interfered as I did. Why? Because he is king, and that position is something sacrosanct, divine? No. The Almighty, or the one claiming to be him, is dead. Even if he hadn't been, the kingship didn't come to our family naturally. We claimed it and forced it upon the other high princes. So then why? Because we were wrong. Gavilar, Sadius, and I were wrong to do as we did all those years ago. Wit seemed genuinely surprised. You unified the kingdom, Dalinar. You did a good work, something that was sorely needed. This is unity? No, Wit. We failed. We crushed, we killed, and we have failed miserably. I receive in Alethkar only what I have demanded. In taking the throne by force, we implied, no, we screamed, that strength is the right of rule. If Sadius thinks he is stronger than I am, then it is his duty to try to take the throne from me. These are the fruits of my youth, Wit. It is why we need more than tyranny, even the benevolent kind, to transform this kingdom. That is what Nohadan was teaching, and that is what I have been missing all along. Wit nodded, looking thoughtful. I need to read that book of yours again, it seems. I wanted to warn you, however. I'll be leaving soon. Leave? You only just arrived. I know. It's incredibly frustrating, I must admit. I have discovered a place that I must be, though to be honest, I'm not exactly sure why I need to be there. This doesn't always work as well as I'd like it to. Dalinar frowned at him. Wit smiled back affably. Are you one of them? Dalinar asked. Excuse me? A herald. Wit laughed. No, thank you, but no. Are you what I've been looking for, then? Radiant? Wit smiled. I am but a man, Dalinar, so much as I wish it were not true at times. I am no Radiant, and while I am your friend, please understand that our goals do not completely align. You must not trust yourself with me. If I have to watch this world crumble and burn to get what I need, I will do so. With tears, yes, but I would let it happen. Dalinar frowned. I will do what I can to help, and for that reason I must go. I cannot risk too much, because if he finds me, then I become nothing, a soul shredded and broken into pieces that cannot be reassembled. What I do here is more dangerous than you could ever know. He turned to go. Wit. Yes? If who finds you? The one you fight, Dalinar Kul'in. The father of hatred. Wit saluted, then jogged off. And that is the end of the chapter. But his line, if I have to watch this world crumble and burn to get what I need, I will do so, is one of my favorite lines from Wit.
Wow. I was thinking it would have been one of the insults earlier.
Because I think it's the first time you really realize that, like, he's only on their side because he's looking at this from such a, like, he's looking at this from such a macro level of, like, the entire Cosmere that, like, he's only helping them because he thinks it's going to help the big picture. But if it didn't, he would let them all die horribly. Like, and I think it's, Wit is such an interesting character, and I think that line informs a lot of it.
Yeah.
Chapter 68 is titled Bridges. This is the last chapter we're going to cover tonight. The epigraph reads, however, it seems to me that all things have been set up for a purpose, and if we as infants stumble through the workshop, we risk exasperating, not preventing, a problem. This chapter has Kaladin's symbol. Kaladin is on a scouting expedition to the Shattered Plains and has bad memories of being a bridgeman. He breathed in Stormlight to reassure himself. Only it didn't come. He stood dumbfounded. He tried again. Nothing. He had lit spheres in his pouch, but he couldn't feel the Stormlight inside. Syl flitted across the chasm high in the air with the group of Windspren. Her giggling laughter rained down upon him, and he looked up. Syl? He asked quietly. Syl zipped down in the form of a ribbon of light. She swirled around him, still giggling. The Stormlight returned to him. What happened? Kaladin whispered to Syl. Is something wrong with our bond? Is it because I haven't found the words soon enough? She landed on his wrist and took the form of a young woman. She peered at his hand, cocking her head. What's inside? She asked. You know what this is, Syl, Kaladin said, feeling chilled. A sphere. Didn't you see it just now? She looked at him, face innocent. You are making bad choices. Naughty. Her features mimicked his for a moment, and she jumped away forward as if to startle him. She laughed and zipped away. You want too much of me, he snapped at her. I'm not some glorious knight of ancient days. I'm a broken man. Do you hear me, Syl? I'm broken. She zipped up to him and whispered. That's what they all were, silly. She streaked away again. Kaladin decides to ignore her and enjoy the company of Bridge 4 as they reach a plateau with a permanent scouting location. He overhears a scout tell Dalinar that a glowing flying man was spotted in the plains, and Dalinar believes that this was Zeth, though it was actually Kaladin. Dalinar tries to bring up Kaladin's imprisonment, but Kaladin dismisses it, saying that he's already forgotten about it. Dalinar says that Kaladin is a good soldier, then watches Renarin interacting with Bridge 4. Kaladin says that Renarin is fitting in and the men like him. Dalinar says that Renarin has refused to train with Zahel since the duel and hasn't summoned his Shardblade since. Kaladin says that Renarin is a bit of a misfit, so Bridge 4 is the best place for him. Kaladin has more difficulty absorbing Stormlight and finds Syl later. Kaladin sat down on a rock beside her. So you're punishing me for agreeing to help Moash. That's why I'm having trouble with the Stormlight. Syl, are you alright? You seem like you were before, when we first met. It made a feeling of dread rise within him to acknowledge it. If his powers were withdrawing, was it because the bond itself was weakening? She looked up at him and her eyes became more focused. You have to decide what you want, Kaladin. You don't like Moash's plan. Are you trying to force me to change my mind regarding him? She scrunched up her face. I don't want to force you to do anything. You have to do what you think is right. That's what I'm trying to do. No, I don't think you are. Fine. I'll tell Moash and his friends that I'm out, that I'm not going to help them. But you gave Moash your word. I gave my word to Dalinar, too. She drew her lips to a line, meeting his eyes. That's the problem, isn't it? I've made two promises, and I can't keep my word to both. Oh, storms. Was this the sort of thing that had destroyed the Knights Radiant? What happened to your honor, Spren, when you confronted them with a choice like this? A broken vow either way. Idiot, Kaladin thought at himself. It seemed he couldn't make any right choices these days. What do I do, Syl? She flitted up until she was standing in the air just before him, eyes meeting his. You must speak the words. I don't know them. Find them. She looked toward the sky. Find them soon, Kaladin. And no, simply telling Moash you won't help isn't going to work. We've gone too far for that. You need to do what your heart needs to do. She rose upward toward the sky. Stay with me, Syl, he whispered after her, standing. I'll figure this out. Just don't lose yourself. Please. I need you. Shallan draws a sketch of one of the mechanical bridges being unfolded, and Kaladin also watches, recognizing one of the carpenters. Moash shows up in his shards and salutes Kaladin. You don't need to salute me, Moash. You're light-eyed now. You outrank me by a mile or two. I'll never outrank you, Cal, Moash said. You're my captain. Forever. Moash says that the assassination plot is close to fruition and that they only need Kaladin to create an opening. Adolin and Kaladin discuss contingencies for a possible attack by Zeth, and Adolin asks for advice about women. Anyway, assassin in white, we need more of a plan than just telling the archers to be ready. Do you have any ideas? Kaladin said. You won't have a shard blade, Adolin said, but you won't need one, because of, you know. I know. Yeah, you know. Adolin glanced away and shrugged. That thing. What thing? The thing with the stuff. He doesn't know, Kaladin realized. He's just fishing, trying to figure out why I can fight so well. And he's doing a really, really bad job of it. Kaladin relaxed and even found himself smiling at Adolin's awkward attempt. It was nice to feel an emotion other than panic or worry. I don't think you have any idea what you're talking about. Adolin scowled. There is something odd about you, Bridge Boy. Admit it. I admit nothing. You survived that fall with the assassin, and at first I worried you were working with him. Now what? Well, I've decided that whatever you are, you're on my side. Anyway, the assassin. My instincts say the best plan is the one we use when fighting together in the arena. You distract him while I kill him. That could work, though I worry that he's not the type to let himself get distracted. Neither was Relis. We'll do it, Bridge Boy. You and I. We're going to bring that monster down. We'll need to be fast, Kaladin said. He'll win a drawn-out fight. And Adolin, strike for the spine or the head. Don't try a weakening blow first. Go right for the kill. Adolin frowned at him. Why? I saw something when the two of us fell together. I cut him, but he healed the wound somehow. I have a blade. He won't be able to heal from that, right? Best not to find out. Strike to kill. Trust me. Adolin met his eyes. Oddly, I do. Trust you, I mean. It's a very strange sensation. Yeah, well, I'll try to hold myself back from going skipping across the plateau in joy. Adolin grinned. I'd pay to see that. Me skipping? You happy, Adolin said, laughing. You've got a face like a storm. I half think you could frighten off a storm. Kaladin grunted. Adolin laughed again, slapping him on the shoulder. Shallan joins them and starts sketching more moss. She says that she isn't sure why they needed so many soldiers when there haven't been as many Parshendi attacks recently, and Kaladin says when an enemy changes tactics, you need to worry. You're good at military thinking for a bridge boy, Adolin said. Coincidentally, Kaladin said, you're good at not being obnoxious, for a prince. Thanks, Adolin said. That was an insult, dear, Shallan said. What? Adolin said. It was? Adolin goes off to get some water. Kaladin and Shallan inspect the plateau, looking beneath the layers of creme. Kaladin notices that there had been a structure there once before. She glanced at him. You're smarter than you look. Good thing. He grunted. Why does everything you say have to include some quip? Are you that desperate to prove how clever you are? Perhaps I'm merely annoyed at you for taking advantage of Adolin. Advantage? Kaladin asked. Because I called him obnoxious? You deliberately said it in a way you expected he wouldn't understand, to make him look like a fool. He's trying very hard to be nice to you. Yes, Kaladin said. He's always so munificent to all of the little dark eyes who flock around to worship him. You really are a hateful man, aren't you? Underneath the mock boredom, the dangerous glares, the growls, you just hate people. Is that it? What? No, Adolin is trying. He feels bad for what happened to you, and he's doing what he can to make up for it. He's a good man. Is it too much for you to stop provoking him? He calls me Bridge Boy, Kaladin said. He's been provoking me. Yes, because he's the one storming around with alternating scowls and insults, Shallan said. Adolin Colin, the most difficult man to get along with on the Shattered Plains. I mean, look at him. He's so unlikable. She gestured toward where Adolin was laughing with the dark-eyed water boys. The groom walked up with Adolin's horse, and Adolin took his shardplate helm off the carrying post, handing it over, letting one of the water boys try it on. It was ridiculously large on the lad. Kaladin flushed as the boy took a shardbearer's pose, and they all laughed again. Kaladin looked back to Shallan, who folded her arms. She smirked at him. Insufferable woman. Kaladin rejoins Bridge 4 to carry their mobile bridge over the mechanical one toward their destination where a chasm fiend was slain, and where Shallan plans to study the chrysalis. They reach the destination, and the carpenter that Kaladin recognized calls to Dalinar, who crosses the bridge. It's that same carpenter, Kaladin thought. The stout man with the cap and the birthmark. Where have I seen him? It clicked. Sadius's lumberyards. The man had been one of the carpenters there, overseeing the construction of bridges. Kaladin started running. He was charging toward the bridge before the connection fully solidified in his mind. Ahead of him, Adolin spun immediately and started running, searching for whatever danger Kaladin had spotted. He left a bewildered Shallan standing in the bridge's center. Kaladin approached her in a rush. The carpenter grabbed a lever on the side of the bridge contraption. The carpenter, Adolin! Kaladin screamed. Stop that man! Dalinar still stood on the bridge. The High Prince had been distracted by something else. What? Kaladin realized he had heard something too. Horns. The call that the enemy had been spotted. It happened all in an instant. Dalinar turning toward the horns, the carpenter pulling the lever, Adolin and his glimmering shard plate reaching Dalinar. The bridge lurched. Then it collapsed. And that is where we're going to leave off for tonight.
What? Sadius and his boys.
Sadius and his boys always causing trouble. A lot of people really ship Kaladin and Adolin.
Why?
I don't, but I think it's like they're... Because Adolin's like a golden retriever and they ship him with everybody. A lot of people really ship Shallan, Kaladin, and Adolin. Mm. All three of them together.
Oh. If there was enough development there, sure, but I don't think that it will ever exist.
No, there's
to
no.
To that degree, so no.
Sanderson wrote a polyamorous relationship in Wheel of Time, because Wheel of Time's main relationship is polyamorous. And I could tell reading his books that he was not as comfortable writing it as Robert Jordan was in the books before.
Hmm.
So I don't think he would ever... write that. I mean, I don't know, maybe he would now. I mean, it's been like a decade since he wrote the last couple Wheel of Time books. Maybe he'd be more open to writing something like that now, but I don't see it happening with these three. But I will say we're gonna next episode develop Shallan and Kaladin's relationship a little bit more. But yeah, next week I will like to give you a little tease. Shallan and Kaladin just fucking fell into a chasm.
They just did, or they were about to?
Well, the bridge collapses at the end of this
chapter. Well, yeah, but I didn't know they were on it.
Yeah, no, they're on the bridge.
I didn't know they were on it. I thought that Dalinar was on it in, like, far away in front of them or something.
So
I didn't know they were on it.
So Dalinar is on one end of the bridge, and Kaladin is coming from the other end to get him off. So he's, like, halfway across the bridge to get to Dalinar. Adolin was running onto the bridge to get to Dalinar. Like, they were on one plateau, and Dalinar was walking back to the plateau
they
just came from.
Yeah, so it would be all three of them fell, then.
Adolin got to Dalinar on the other end.
Oh, he did. Oh.
Dalinar and Adolin aren't gonna fall. Shallan and Kaladin were, like, in the middle, and Adolin just ran faster.
Let me guess, he's gonna have to use his abilities to save her, and then she's gonna find out that he's a Radiant. And-
well, I will, I'll give you a little tease here. The first sentence of the next chapter is, or the first like two sentences are, as the bridge fell out from beneath him, Kaladin reached for Stormlight. Nothing.
Oh, never mind.
All right, but that's it for this week. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Speak Stormlight. You guys can, let me go to the document that has all our plugs on it. Join our Discord. The link to do that is in the episode description, and also the pinned tweet on our Twitter account. Email us at speakthewordsasp@gmail.com. You guys can follow me individually on Twitter at Sean_AFK. Our art was done by our good friend Alx on Twitter at Alx_BEEGBOI. There's also a link to that in the episode description. Alx just sent me the art for next season. I'm so excited to share it with you guys. It looks awesome. But yes, that's all I've got for this week. As always, guys, life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination.